I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There is one thing that I do every single time that I launch a new project, and that is I invest in a Lottie logo animation for the new website. I've done it for Dive, Figma Academy, Maven, everything, because it is the easiest way to make a new brand feel premium. Now, I used to have to hire people because it's freaking hard to do this in After Effects, but not anymore, because Jitter is making it so much easier to create animations. You can import from Figma, there's a super intuitive editor, great presets, and not only can you export Lottie animations for your website, but you can export videos, GIFs, or anything else that you'd need. So if you want to add that premium feel to your next project, head to dive.club/jitter. That's J-I-T-T-E-R. Okay, now on to the episode.
I think take a look at what you're doing and say, what about this am I repeating? Think about them as like independent pieces that you can put a price to, and with that, have a very firm sense of a package or an offer that you can give to your clients. And I think it's applicable to really anything, you know, motion design, 3D design, copywriting, just figuring out the mechanics of those pieces, I think is something that anybody can do.
Welcome to Dive Club. My name is Rid, and this is where designers never stop learning. Now, I was scrolling Twitter the other day, per usual, and I saw some branding work that really caught my eye. And after clicking on the profile, it was quite clear right away that what Nick Pattison is doing is a big deal. Now, he's been working for himself for well over 10 years, but recently, he's laser focused on what he calls a one-week brand sprint. So I wanted to talk to him to understand more about the model, how it works, how he's interfacing with clients, but more importantly, to figure out what we can learn from how Nick is positioning himself as an independent designer. So without further ado, this is Nick's origin story for the one-week brand sprint.
So in the beginning of 2023, I had a client who needed like a really big project. It was branding plus web. It was also a platform. We had to build the platform. It was a six-figure job, high six figures. It was the biggest job I'd ever bid on. And the sales cycle took forever, took like 2 to 3 months. And then we were told that we were selected, but then we had to go have multiple meetings in the city with different shareholders to close. And then for whatever reason, the contract period took like a month. And it was just reflective of a lot of the work that I've done over the last 10 or 15 years. Just like long sales cycles, big projects. I'm bidding against all other kinds of agencies. I don't know what their price is. I'm guessing on price. I'm hoping that I'm right. For whatever reason, that project fell apart in like the 11th hour. And I'd sort of put all my eggs in that basket, and it was really frustrating. I went out for dinner that night. I happened to go to Sweetgreen to go get a salad, and I was standing in line. I was looking around. I was like, you know, first of all, this is like this beautifully branded experience. And within that, there's these very finite options. You can see that there are only 20 ingredients. And then up on the menu board, there's, you know, pretty much only eight salads that I can order with a fixed price. And it's high end. You know, I think the difference between what I'm describing here and like Subway is that it's high end. The product is high end. The branding is high end. The ingredients are high end. And it just dawned on me in that moment that like, why are we not doing this? Like, why don't we have prepackaged things? We've always done brand and web, but I think that applies to both of them. So for brand, we have our ingredients. We have a logo. We have typography. We have our colors. A certain variety of applications of that, a brand book. Why are we reinventing the wheel every time a client comes to us and they're dictating the terms of this custom project? Or even if they are, why don't we at least have parameters around that and say, this is what this piece costs, and this is what we do, and this is what the next piece costs, and this is how we do it. So I basically that night arrived at that and felt like, this is what we're going to do. So that became clear. But beyond that, I also felt like, okay, well, we're going to do prepackaged things and we're going to figure out what these things cost. But I still think that we need to niche down. We need to own a space more clearly. I have myself three questions. One, what industry needs good design work? Two, what industry has money? Three, what kind of work do we like to do? It was like a big exercise of putting things down and figuring that out. But the intersection of those three things for us was health and wellness. It's an industry that's quite large. They have capital. I think that a lot of, you know, whether it's doctors or mental health or physical health, there's a need for good design there. It's not going anywhere. It's a growing industry. It's something that we're just passionate about and interested in. So we quickly arrived that, okay, we're going to do health and wellness, and we're going to just do branding, and we're going to have these packaged things. And I was really excited, and I was like, this is great. And then I looked at our website, and I was like, how are we going to do this? Like, all of our work, you know, we've got Brooklyn Brewery and Bread Alone and Arizona Cardinals Football Stadium. We have all these different projects in different directions. Like, how am I supposed to go to health and wellness company and say, we're the health and wellness experts in branding? We had to make our portfolio quickly. So I went out and got us a job with a biotech company. And it was like they had $10,000 and they actually needed it done relatively quickly. And we did it in like 3 days and they were delighted. And then I just shared it on Twitter and said, you know, we did this in only a week for $10,000. I'm actively looking for health and wellness companies to do this. And this amazing guy, Stephen Dean, responded, and he like worked on consulting, but also founding multiple health companies. I have two health companies. I'd like for you to work on both of them. And I said, fantastic. And I just upped the price. I just said, we're going to do two of them for $15,000 each. And he said, perfect, because it's going to get done in a short amount of time. So then we did two more in the next 3 weeks, and we suddenly had three projects. And then I shared those two online. And I actually didn't say I'm looking for more health and wellness, because I was just sort of interested in like, what's the response here? What's going to happen? And then people got really excited about that. And then we got a fintech company, and then we got a consumer packaged goods company, and then we got something else. And then slowly it was like, okay, health and wellness isn't our thing. Brand sprints are our thing. Like, just being able to do this prepackaged work in an efficient, fast amount of time.
I love how systematic the origin story is, because I think there's so many designers out there, specifically on Twitter, that are just kind of generically doing everything. And it's really interesting to hear how intentionally you niche down, even from the beginning. Maybe even just to clarify, like within this brand sprint package, how much variance is there with the deliverables?
The deliverables are always the same for the most part. So you get a logo, type, color, a graphic system to accompany that. That's usually like a supportive system based on the logo, custom icons, photography styles. All of those things are universally done. I think the variance comes in the specifics of what companies need. And I've gotten better at asking them that and making sure that we're really clear from the beginning about that. So like, yeah, in the beginning, we were doing like billboards and bags and things to just show these things in action. But the truth is, most of the tech companies we work with are digital first, and they don't care about a billboard or a bag. So like, how is this actually going to look in my product? Or what is it going to look like on a website? So we've actually also started to offer, as part of the brand sprint, you get a homepage design. Everybody gets a homepage design. So there's a slight variance just in terms of the applications at the end. We say that you get up to 5 mockups or applications, and then we ask you what's best.
I have so many questions. I think ultimately I want to get to an understanding of this higher level positioning, sales, how you're standing out in the market. But maybe first, let's just get into the weeds of the process itself so that we can kind of understand the playbook that you're running. So let's say that you've signed on a new client, you're going to kick off a brand sprint next week. Can you walk us through kind of a high level outline of how that process works, and then we can drill in from there?
Yeah, I've really fine-tuned this because we now do one brand sprint per week and we fill a month with 4. So the day and the time of these things has to be quite precise. So we send a questionnaire to the client on Thursday, and they get Thursday and Friday plus the weekend if they need it to fill it out. And that goes to not only one shareholder, but anybody who needs to fill out that form. And that form really gives me 80 to 90% of a download on what I need to know, even though we're going to have a conversation with the client. And then we also start working in the background there, where we're doing our inspiration and our mood boarding and everything, so that on Monday, there we come with like a very edited, concise version of everybody's feedback so that we can go over it, talk about it, ask questions, and then go over their inspiration and talk about each teammate, what they're interested in, just make sure we're aligned. And we started to add into that process that on that Monday, we're also like super prepared with our inspiration. So we've come up with some ideas that we're sharing so that we're aligned. And so that meeting is an hour and we get a lot done there. And then we actually start that day. So we'll like get off the call, we're starting to work. And then we just go away. We go away for 5 days. Like we don't ask the client anything. Like they can, of course, like send us things if they want to, but usually they don't. Like we've got everything that we need. And then we work for that week for 5 days and then come back the following Monday with two full brand design directions. The second week is reserved for edits and refinement after that presentation, and then a deliverable of the brand book and any final assets at the final Friday of that second week.
It's cool to hear how you're able to really hit the ground running on that first Monday. It does feel like that information sourcing part of the process is so, so important. So can you talk a little bit about that questionnaire? Like, what are you asking clients to make sure that you get what you need in order to execute at a high level?
The main first part is just a download of the business. Just like, what is this business? What's the story behind the business? Why did you create it? That kind of stuff. And then the second part is understanding the competition and the customer. So that includes like customer demographics and psychographics. Like, who are these people? Where are they from? Where do they work? What do they care about? What other products or things do they consume? And then the third part is inspiration. So what kind of brands who are competitive do you like, and which ones do you think are not working? Also, just in general, what brands or websites do you think are doing a good job that are not in your vertical or in your industry? Then the last part is just about success and just being really aligned about like everybody's vision for what the success of this project means, because that can be different for other people. It's not just like, I need a really pretty brand. Like, no, this brand is going to be applied to our website, and that website, you know, is a tool to do X. We just did one where this conference was like one of the most important things. So we had to like make sure that the branding was activated on the website to attract people for a certain purpose, and it was activated live at the event for a certain purpose. And so like understanding that information is really crucial to our success. Like, I don't, branding just doesn't happen in a bubble, you know, it's not just like a logo and some colors. I think it's really understanding intent of the team is important.
And then how are you stewarding the process internally? Like after that kickoff meeting, it sounds like there's really not that many checkpoints with the client the rest of that week, if any at all. It's mainly just about you cranking on the work. So how are you staying on schedule and getting through a rather large amount of deliverables?
I don't know. As much as I've tried to systematize that process, it just is designed and it gets messy, you know? Like, I keep trying to be like, no, but we can like templatize how we do this. And it's just like, no, we have to like explode ideas everywhere. I think in terms of how to like get there systematically, I'm the creative director and I only work with one other designer, and we're a small team of two. So it's up to me to be like obsessed early and also be a downloader early. It was an editor. So what does that mean? Like, I need to be looking at that brief Thursday and Friday. On the weekend, my mind is like thinking about these things. I'm like on Pinterest or other sites or in our database catalog of things, looking at things. Because I need to be ready on Monday to activate that for my designer. So I think a lot of it is in that. Like, we're going to do two creative directions and they're not going to be like superficial. Meaning, it's not just like a brand sprint is not like a logo and some colors and some fonts that look cool. It's about creating like conceptual through lines in the project. Like for this company, Slice Space, who we did one for recently, who does like anyone can get a slice of real estate through the blockchain, basically. We came up with this idea of like a top-down view of blueprints of rooms and houses. And then the system was based on the shapes of that. How do we come up with an idea like that that's actually interesting? And then create a through line where like the logo and the graphics and everything is based on that system. Okay, if we're going to do that one, now we got to do another one that's not based on that. So like how can we do some early strong thinking that gets us a mind there? So I prepare us on Monday for that. And I say to my designer, these are my early ideas for like where this is generally going to go. And then he builds on that. You know, go look for more inspiration in this direction. Go look for more inspiration in this direction. And then as he's doing that, I'm coming back and checking in as creative director and like editing out pieces and Yeah, I think in general, in terms of the schedule, it's like days one and two are really to nail down those two directions conceptually. And then days three and four are reserved for refinement. We have figuring out color, figuring out type, changing the compositions. And we really need to make sure that by that Friday, like, we feel pretty good. And I've gotten in the habit of saying to my designer, like, where are we on a scale of 1 to 10? And I think on Friday, like, we better be at an 8.
How much do those two concepts end up differing?
Sometimes they're based on one idea, one concept, and they're just different expressions of that. Sometimes they're completely different. And it really depends on the client. The important thing to me is solving the client's problem, like not creating something that just looks great. It's like, how are both of these directions, no matter what we do, reflective of the strategy that's being communicated and the positioning that they have, so that when they see it, they're like, oh, both of these are speaking to me. And sometimes that means having them be conceptually different. Sometimes if they're conceptually the same, but they just feel different. Like, this one feels a little more buttoned up and professional, and this one has a little more fun injected into it.
So can we zoom ahead to that first deliverable, that following Monday? You have these two concepts, you're presenting them to the client. Talk to me about how you are showcasing your work and presenting this in a compelling way.
So it's two directions, and both are presented in Figma, which is where we do all of our work, usually in two rows, probably about 15 slides each. That said, I'd say probably the most important starting point for me is that we start with 2 to 3 slides, which are a review of what we've talked about and strategically linking back to everything we've been thinking about. So it's almost like, you know, I mentioned that there was that first meeting on Monday where we have this document, and that document is pretty long. I don't know, it's like 15 or 20 pages. This, how do we like take all of that and just say, like, guys, this is what we heard. It's usually terms. It's like, this is what your brand should feel like. Here's like 10 or 12 terms that we heard. And then there's like usually a bulleted list after that, which is, these are all the things we were thinking about as we did this. And I think that that's important because we're not diving in and we're just like, do you like this? Does this look good? We're like, just so you know, before we talk about this, everything that we've done here has been thought out and is reflective of what you told us. And I think that that sets the stage for the client to feel comfortable that, or not, maybe not comfortable, but like, at least they understand that it's, that we think it's coming from a place of being reflective of these qualities. So I always start there, and then we present both directions. I think that I always lean into the one that I think that they might choose, not that we think is best, but like, let's just start out strong. And that presentation, it's kind of hard to describe, but I think that there's like an arc to the narrative, and it usually unfolds from the logo to maybe the logo in context to the logo in bigger context, say like the website. Okay, now here's the logo with some typography and some imagery, and here's the graphic system. And from there, how do we extrapolate on that graphic system in other contexts so you can understand how things work? I think that's really important too. Like, how does type work next to imagery? How does it work in different circumstances? Like, I think we're also trying to think about, if you had to hand this to a website designer, a really proficient website designer, would they have enough assets to compose a homepage? Would they have enough layout options to understand how these pieces come together? That's generally how it unfolds. The end of the presentation is usually like 5 to 7 mockups and in context, and then we pause and then show the second direction. And I like to do those presentations without commentary. So I usually just say, this is how we do it. I just like to explain this to you and tell you the story. And I think that's important, like to not have a free for all where people are just like, oh, pause. Like, I like that, or I don't like that. Because we've thought through why we made these decisions, and we want to tell you why we made these decisions. And then you can respond to that, like, bigger picture. So I'll do the presentation, like presentation board, and then I'll say, thank you very much. Let's zoom out. Let's look at the zoomed out Figma file so you can see everything together, and then let's just talk about it. Who wants to start?
And do you zoom out once both concepts have been introduced, or is there an opening where people can respond to that first concept?
Once both have been introduced, because I think that you need to understand the context of them against each other.
Two more clarifying questions. The first is,
Are you making a recommendation between these two concepts or purely presenting them as even?
Purely presenting them as even. And actually, my goal is that they are even. I, like, number one, pride ourselves in not doing one thing well and then being like, oh, I just got to do one so that they discard it. I want both of them to feel equally strong. But I also feel like it's a business question. This is what I say to clients. Like, this is not about, like, what do you like? This is about, what do you think your customer will like? Like, so let's look at it through that lens. This is not just like to look good and that you like purple. This is like, which one of these feels reflective of the things that we talked about based on your client and your customer and the things that you're trying to achieve?
Last clarifying question. You talked about walking the client through the context and really demonstrating the fact that you were listening, you understand what they're trying to achieve. When you are talking about that, have you still not shown the logo, or are they looking at the logo while you're talking?
No, they're looking at words on a screen. And I try to keep them simple and graphic and just like, here are the words in bubbles. Here are the simple 10 bullet points that we've talked about.
Maybe now, can we talk a little bit about what happens afterwards? So you've shared these two concepts. I would imagine there's some element of discussion happening live. How are you sourcing feedback effectively in order to inform those next steps?
So we get feedback live on the call, and then we basically say, okay, you probably need some time despite what you've said. Go back together and discuss. Generally, we like feedback in 2 days, but 1 to 2 days written feedback from a single source. So it's really important to not like have a bunch of people emailing us or like dropping a bunch of pins in Figma on everybody's ideas. It's like, you guys get together and you guys get aligned and then tell us what we need to do. I'm not that firm about it, although I suspect that as we move forward, I'll need to be more firm about that timeline. But people move pretty quickly, not to toot our own horns, but we're usually quite successful on that Monday in that presentation, which is imperative to this process working. If you completely swing and miss, then you have a whole other week or another week beyond that for changes. And we haven't gotten in that position yet, fingers crossed. And I think that's just because we're doing one sprint a week and paying a lot of attention and trying, you know, just delivering. I also do not cap changes. So I make sure I tell clients that at the beginning of the process. There are no changes. That's how confident we are that we will present two good directions. And I want, the goal of this project is to make sure that you are 100% satisfied. So if those two directions don't work, give us that feedback and we will work the next week to get it right.
You've run over 25 of these now. So I'd imagine there's some iterations happening. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the process has evolved over the last year?
It's evolved in a lot of different ways. I'll start with scheduling. So that, you know, we talked a little bit about that. Like, things were sort of all over the place in the beginning. It was like, oh, you could, you know, reach out to me. And then I would say, when do you want to start? And then we would schedule a date to start. And then, you know, we'd be working from a Thursday to a Thursday. And then another client would come in the middle of the week. So I think that that's changed a lot, is just buttoning that up and being like, nope, questionnaire goes Thursday, kickoff happens Monday. That allows me to stagger things and create predictability, which is a huge part of this being successful. Also, a part of that is automation. So I actually spent like the last 2 months working with an automation expert and automating everything that I should not be involved in. So I, as a small two-person business, like, I do sales, marketing, invoicing, contracts, creative direction, project management, talking to the clients, dealing with problems, whatever. And like, I need to remove myself from like everything but sales and creative direction. Those are the two things. So we've really automated this in a quite incredible way, just from like an administrative point of view, from like people booking things on the website to it going into my calendar. Then I just do a sales call. And also, I'll just say, like, the beauty of that, which we can talk about, is people buy on the spot. People buy on calls. I don't do proposals anymore. How does that happen? And then also, like, automating that, like, when people buy on the spot, what happens? They get an email, some, you know, and then they actually fill out a form with just like 4 lines of copy. And then that triggers invoice, contract, first questionnaire. And then when they fill out the first questionnaire, that triggers something else. So like, creating that web of systemization has like changed my life. And then, but I was like, wait, there's still more stuff happening. So then I got a recommendation from my good friend, Matthew Smith, to at Bunsen to hire an executive assistant. And I was just so, I don't know. I was like, I don't know. Do I have time to like manage an executive assistant? And that's also been amazing. It's like $600 a month. And she's just like an excellent writer. She's on top of things. She's in my emails, like making sure that we're on top of invoicing. There's a lot of other like admin things that like just because you automate things doesn't mean that life is simple. So like those three things I think have really changed operationally. And then I'll just add like from a design standpoint, just like getting faster, doing better work, honestly. It just keeps getting better. I mean, the sheer volume of work that we're doing is amazing. I can't recommend it to designers enough to just do more work. I mean, whatever context you need to do it. Like, it's actually doing 25 brand sprints in a row really challenges that muscle, that creative muscle of like solving problems over and over again for different kinds of clients. But there's always the through line also of just doing a continuous type of work. Like, we just do brand. So there's a repetition in that, that you like can exercise that muscle and like you're never doing the same thing, but you're doing the same things within a very confined set of skill set work. And I've, you know, in my career, I've done brand, I've done web, I've done product, and I've always been more multidisciplinary. And so it's like, it's kind of beautiful to just do your reps in that like little zone.
I love the idea of the reps because you're right. Like something that I think a lot about is how important it is for me to have opportunities to just hit command new and like start from scratch. Cause then you can take everything that you've learned up to that point and incorporate it into that next project without any constraints. And you basically just taken that and condensed it down to these weak iteration cycles. And you're right. I mean, I can see how that would just be superpowers for your own growth.
Superpowers and growth are the right words. And I'm just like invigorated by it, you know, for the first time in like 20 years, I just wake up and just like, I'm psyched. Like it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but I never really feel drained in the way that I used to. Because there's actually no menial tasks inside of it. And I very purposefully cut those things out. Even when we did brand before, people would be like, oh, can you do my deck? And I'm like, sure, yeah, let's figure out the quote for that. And then they'll be like, oh, can you do my social media? It's like, yeah, sure, I'll figure, you know. And that stuff is fine, but it's not the most interesting stuff. So I think, like, we basically, in those short sprints, are just doing the work that makes us excited.
Hey guys, real quick, if you know me, then you know I love products. So I want to take just 30 seconds to tell you about three of my favorites. Now, anytime that I'm designing and building a website, you better believe that I'm going to use Framer. I made the switch recently and I'm never going back. Now, once it's time to animate my designs and showcase my work, that's when I'm going to use Jitter. It's like Figma, only for motion design. And every step of the way, I'm going to be using Raycast constantly. It's the cornerstone of how I use my computer and the way that I stay in flow while I work. Now, I hand-selected Framer, Raycast, and Jitter to partner with me so that I could do these interviews full-time. So if you want to show them some love, it would mean a lot. Okay, now on to the rest of the episode.
I want to talk a little bit more about the sales cycle. You talked about how it was really, you've shrunk it down. Maybe there's a little bit more to share there, but also I'm kind of curious, like, how you frame this, because I've been through this process, gosh, at least five different times, again, as the client, and they always take more than a month. Most of the time it takes multiple months. So how do you sell the fact that you can arrive at the same quality output, but you only need a week?
It's a great way to frame that question, because I actually sell off the work. And this is something that I arrived at like inadvertently on a call. My process is the same every single time. I just get on a call and ask them to talk about themselves and the project and listen and understand and, you know, ask questions and be curious. And then I say, you know, here's what we do. Here's my background. I mean, I think my background is helpful to that a bit because there's like proof points for people to point at. So I think that's helpful. But I think it ultimately comes down to the work. It's probably a couple of things. There's like the proof point of your past history. Can you do the work that you say you're going to do? Okay, what's your process? I don't think process matters a ton to clients, but I think it matters when you're like very confidently concise about that. Like, I know what I'm doing and I'm going to do it like this and I'm not going to miss. And then the work. So yeah, so I just go into Figma and I just have a document that says, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And 0 is like questionnaire. And then I show them the questionnaire. And then 1 is, you know, our mood boards and how we're going to go through that. And then we've got that buttoned up. And you know that that's what's going to happen on day 2. And then day 3, here's the work. And I'm walking them through a project so they can see where it started in the beginning when the client came to us. And then they can see the evolution of that in those days. And so now they are totally understanding the process, and hopefully they're impressed by the work itself. And so I was always selling off one project. One thing that I've changed in that is that, like, I get some feedback. Like, sometimes I'd be talking to like an AI company or a crypto company who, you know, they want something like super futuristic and bright. And what I'm showing them is maybe like flat or something like that. And I think that's an easy way to lose a client. It's like, if you're just showing them a project that doesn't resonate with them, that could be problematic. So I'll walk through that whole thing, and then I'll be like, this project might not be your cup of tea, but let me show you 3 other successful sprints and the 2 directions. And then I'll take like 5 minutes just to show them that process. Yeah. And just in terms of the sales cycle, I just sell on calls. I completely have eliminated proposals. I was like very close to getting the job for MSG Sphere, where they were hiring like a creative director to do this. But it was a very big project. It was crazy. And I did an 87-page proposal, and it took me like, you know, a month and a half, and I had consultants helping me with it, right? And like, so that's sort of a never again for me. That's the opposite of the spectrum. But on this side, it doesn't need a proposal because everything's on the website. The price is on the website. The time is on the website. I just told you the process. I just told you who I am. Either you like our work or you don't. So most people buy on the call, and they just say, sounds great. When can I start? And so that's what I like to do. And then I just have my executive assistant send the form that triggers everything.
It's amazing. I mean, being able to eliminate proposals is obviously like the dream. I've always been so intimidated by that. You also touched on your background being something that you're able to leverage in these conversations. So I want to talk about that really quickly, because you've worked under a couple incredible designers. Milton Glaser, who, for people who are not familiar, he was the one who designed the I Love New York logo. Also Paula Scher at Pentagram. So what have you learned from these design greats that you've then incorporated into your own process?
I think a couple of things. I would start with doing good work and knowing what good work is, and being around good work is really important. You know, just to have a sense of that is imperative to running a design studio, to being an effective creative director. And that ties very closely into sprints, right? We have zero time to make bad decisions. So the things that we're doing have to be decided on quickly, and they better be the right decision. So that goes from like early conceptual stuff to also like, if we're making a mess and we're coming up with a bunch of different ideas, being like, no, 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 yes, yes, no. And then getting back to work on the yeses. So I think that in general, those experiences have just given me a better sensibility of those kinds of things. And also, you know, I think for both of them, but in particular for Milton, who's run his own independent design practice that's quite small. It was just him and 3 other designers for, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years. Just learning like operationally how to do that, how to manage designers, how to speak to designers, how to also speak to clients. So like I would be in those meetings like very up close with Norm, or maybe it was just the 2 of us bringing a client in. Like his command of the meeting and the guidance of the project when presenting and stuff like that, I think was very helpful.
Can you go a little bit deeper on that? Like, what does it look like to have command of a meeting?
I think that a lot of it is doing the work, actually, right? So if you've done the work and you know it's done, and then you know it's done right, you're right. The client could maybe disagree with you and you're there to listen. But like, I think that there's like a bit of an objective truth in good work. And so I think Milton often had that, you know, go into a meeting and like, we did the work, here's what it is, here's why. And I think part of it is that explanation, here's why. I think on the other end of it, it's also, I don't know, it's like a balance of not being like, I'm right, and being an egomaniac. And, you know, I think it's also about presenting that information in a way that's like digestible and clear and effective, but then also being a good listener, And I generally don't push back on clients too much, like, especially in that first meeting. Like, if they're like, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. Okay, keep talking to me. Tell me more. Good. Okay, I hear you. And then maybe it will defend some of our decisions. But in general, like, we're there to listen and then go back and make those changes, but make those changes in a way that we also think are appropriate.
You've used the phrase making a mess in Figma a couple times now. Can we talk a little bit more about your personal creative process and specifically what you've been able to do to speed it up as you put in more and more of these reps?
The fact that I'm really into it and what's aligned with that is being obsessed. And then I kind of have to be obsessed, actually. So, you know, once a client comes on board and I've decided it's a fit and I'm interested in the project, I'm interested in what they're doing, getting obsessed early and, you know, spending Friday through Sunday thinking about it and looking at things and collecting things and putting them together. I don't think that's unique to me. I mean, I think, you know, designers have that kind of process, but there's perhaps an unhealthy obsession that's happening in there to, like, make sure that we nail this.
Zooming out from the creative process, let's say a designer is listening to this. They're not a branding specialist. What are some of the ways that you think they could reverse engineer your success and how you've positioned yourself?
I think take a look at what you're doing and say, what about this am I repeating? If I'm a web designer, you know, there's a certain set of things that I'm doing. I'm doing a sitemap. I'm creating wireframes. I need to create content. How am I creating that content? Like, look at those things through a microscope too. Like, when I create content, do I just do the high level copy? Do I do everything? How long does that take me, etc.? Look at the totality of the things you do and think about them as, like, independent pieces that you can put a price to and a time on. And with that, have a very firm sense of a package or an offer that you can give to your clients for a project. I know, I think it's invaluable. I've just spent so much time making up new prices for things, how long things are going to take. And I think it's applicable to really anything, you know, motion design, 3D design, copywriting. We're working on Stellar right now, where we're going to offer brand sprints and web sprints. And part of it is, like, we're realizing, okay, in web sprints, websites need copy. How could we compress that? Or how could we make that clear to a client? Say, like, the copywriting portion of the website is $1,000 and it takes one day to create all the H1 and H2 copy. But we don't do the body copy. Or if you want us to do all of the copy, it's $2,500 and it takes 3 days. And so just figuring out the mechanics of those pieces, I think, is something that anybody can do.
You mentioned Stellar. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing there, how it connects, and broadly, like, what's the plan moving forward into the rest of 2024?
So we launched Stellar about a year ago as a creative directory just to find the absolute best people. We felt like there were a lot of websites like Dribbble and Behance and Working Not Working, and those were all great, but it was hard to find really good people. So we created a curated collection of people and put them together into a directory, which has been going well. But in interviewing startups who are primary clients for Stellar, we did about 15 interviews over the last 2 months. We realized that they didn't just want a directory that they had to go through themselves to go find people. Maybe they don't have the right visual language, or they don't have the time, or they want things to happen in an easier way. And so we were tinkering with our business model a little bit and thinking about ways to make it easier for them to find people. And at the same time, I was working on brand sprints with Primary and everything. And a couple people, including Emmett Shine, who's, like, founded Gin Lane, amazing designer, who's a friend and has been advising me on some stuff. It's like, Nick, just, I don't know why you're not seeing this, but these are two different versions of the same thing. There should be a conversion here where Stellar is basically Primary, but at scale. What we're doing is we're relaunching Stellar in a week. And Stellar will be brand sprints and web sprints. So you can get your brand or your website for $15,000, both in 2 weeks, or we'll do the whole thing. We'll do your brand and your website for $30,000. And what we're doing is leveraging really senior level talent to do this. And we're creating this matchmaking system where you come into the website, you tell us what kind of project you have. Maybe it's crypto and you need a brand. And what we'll do is we'll match you to our best crypto designer who will do a brand sprint for you in 2 weeks for a fixed price, and the same thing for web. So it's really exciting for me, where it's like, oh, we could now have 50 Knicks and we can leverage this model and bring brand sprints and web sprints into the world in a way that is like super scalable.
I love it. Found something that works and now you're on Operation Clone Yourself. It's really interesting to see too, because when I first clicked through to your Twitter profile, I mean, immediately I got it. Like, it's like, man, he's taken this productized movement, something that we are seeing a lot more of, but you niche down right from the beginning and did something very unique where, you know, I can really only wear the client hat in this conversation, but I've also been intimidated by the process because it's so murky. And I almost feel like, yeah, you are just totally making up prices for me. And so by adding that predictability to it, I think you are creating a lot of value for both sides. Thank you so much for taking the time to share more about the process, how you work, how you're thinking about things. I think this is going to inspire a lot of designers out there. And yeah, thanks for coming on and talking to me.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Rin. Thank you.
Hey, it's Rid. Don't forget, each week I send an email to over 10,000 designers with featured resources and key insights that you can use to take a leap forward in your career. Head to dive.club/email if you want to sign up. I'll see you next week.